The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Greetings and thanks very much for joining me for today's episode of Climate Matters. I'm Lindsay Wood. I'm the Director of Climate Strategy Company Resilience Limited, and Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Well, today I'm happy to bring you the second part of my conversation with Mike Joy. We had a wonderful hour chatting together, covered all sorts of stuff. So just as a quick recap, Mike is an outstanding freshwater ecologist. He's a senior researcher at Victoria University of Wellington, and he also is a courageous campaigner both for freshwater and for environmental issues, generally including the climate crisis. To also touch base, last time Mike gave a quick run through of his current projects, which rather focused on things like hearings and legal cases and expert evidence. Then we got talking about the role of citizens in decision making, submissions and citizens' assemblies and that sort of thing. And then we moved into an area which you might not expect, and that was we talked about the role of imagination as a critical component in sorting this out and getting out of the gridlock we're in with trying to decarbonize the planet. So I do hope that you enjoy it. I'd like to touch base on energy. You and I have talked briefly about it historically. Mm-hmm. And I know we've both got deep concerns about society's approach to energy and what I've heard called energy blindness over our future. Maybe I'll kick it off by saying that society kids itself, we're running a monetary economy when that's not what drives us at all. Can I use that as a segue to invite you to pick up on that and tell us a bit about your approach to energy? And
Yeah, exactly that, energy blindness. And pardon me, I always use that example of, you know, when I give my talks, and people are probably bored to tears with this from me, but the cyclist on the stationary bicycle that's hooked up to a generator, hooked up to a toaster, and you put a bit of toast in, and this huge track cyclist, you know, bikes like crazy until he basically falls off the bike covered in sweat. And out pops the bit of toast and it's barely brown, you know, and that then converting our energy consumption to human equivalents, you know, thinking of energy slaves and human equivalents, and then working out just how much work these fossil energy slaves do in society, and we pay them nothing, almost nothing, you know, as a way of getting across to people, you know, just how we have no idea. We sit there with grumpy looks on our faces and our cars and traffic jams, you know, when we've got 160 people pushing us along the road, you know, and we just, we're just born at a time when there's this abundance that will never happen again and never happened before. It's, again, isn't that imagination, being able to be able to think like that, that you can see this, that it's just a carbon pulse, this is just a one-off, and that, you know, it's not real, and that's just a blink of an eyelid in our existence, in our time.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. I know in talks I've given in the Nelson area, I've mentioned that, you know, petrol or diesel is, let's say, $3 a litre, and I said, well, that'll take an average car from Nelson to Richmond. So I said, hands up anyone who'll push a car to Richmond for $3.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the same sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Ah, yes. But it also flows on, doesn't it, to the fact that, A, we don't realise just what a massive, magic, cheap energy source we've got, but B, it's the energy that drives our economy, isn't it?
The economy wouldn't exist without it, what would economies be without energy, and they're powered by it. The other part of that, though, that I keep, you know, because I seem to get into arguments all the time with people around renewable energy and that kind of carbon or climate myopia, where people see the only crisis we have is that, is the climate crisis. And so the way to get out of that is to stop burning fossil fuels and run the world on renewable energy. And the missing of the point that what enables us to do all of the harm on the planet and to push past all of the boundaries, planetary boundaries, you know, limits to the life-supporting capacity of the planet, all come from having excess energy. So the thing that we're trying to save is the thing that's killing us. And so finding another way of doing that is not, even if, you know, I mean, I would argue, and I got lots of evidence to show that we can't do it, but even if we could do it, all we would do is carry on. You know, my analogy of the electrifying the Titanic is the way I try to explain this, you know, and I was on this panel with the Rewiring New Zealand guys and saying, well, you know, it's like you're down in the engine room on the Titanic and you're doing a great job because you're going to convert the steam engine into electricity. Good on you. But at the same time, you're not seeing that the Titanic is still going to hit the iceberg and we'll just might even get there a bit faster. And so it's that kind of not being able to see the bigger picture that I find a bit frustrating, that the multiple, you know, the meta crisis or the, you know, whatever you want to call it, that, and you know, Nate Hargens is so good at explaining this stuff, but that, you know, that energy is just, it's kind of a lean on future, the economy, money is just a lean on future energy, and that's future energy we don't have, and so we've just borrowing ourselves into an impossible situation.
We think that we print money and somehow we'll have a rocketing economy, and you have to be able to get energy to make that work.
Somebody says, you know, the other day I saw a great quote about you can print money but you can't print topsoil, you know. there's that kind of reality.
Oh, no, you're right. And if I can link what you said just now back to your comment about being on Campbell Island, one of the things, and, you know, people can't imagine living in a different mode. One of the things that I think is quite important is somehow for people to experience or realize we can actually live bloody well with a hell of a lot less energy. But somehow we think we have to be able to fly to every rock concert or heli ski or whatever it is. It's almost like it's our God-given right. I don't know whether you have any comments on that area.
That is the problem, and that's the problem of, you know, the imagination, not being able to imagine a world that isn't like this, and, you know, reminding myself while I say it that I'm one of the top 10% of wealth in the world. 50% of us New Zealanders are. Probably most of the people that will listen to this are in the top 10%, responsible for more than half of the emissions and way more than half of the material consumption. And so we are the problem. I guess that part of that is the thing that we all seem to be locked into, this idea of growth. You know, it's an everything assumes that growth is a good thing. Whenever you hear every headline seems to be positive if it's growth and negative if it's not growth. You know, it's just so core to everything in our lives. And yet GDP is the best measure we have of environmental destruction. So the very thing we're trying to maximize is the very thing that will kill us or is killing us, you know. What a weird situation we've ended up in, you know.
And it's bizarre, and it's almost like we're so close to the action that we can't take a step back and see the bigger picture, isn't it?
Yep. That's the imagination thing again, isn't it, Lindsay?
I remember a quote, I think we might have talked about this before, by Harthagen, which was, a species that causes the extinction of 150 other species a day does not need more energy to do more of the same.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it too, to think about those other impacts of what we do.
But that's salutary. When you think of 150 species a day going extinct, it's almost blows your mind, doesn't it? I've sprinkled for listeners, I put a little bit of a run sheet together with a few topics, not very prescriptive, but a couple of slots in there. I've got Mike's call. Feel free to nominate a topic. Do you want to nominate something to chat about at this stage, or should we just keep rolling?
Oh, I just keep rolling because I think it's all kind of interconnected, and you know, at different times, I'm trying to think about different ways of getting the message across to people, and then getting the realization that I don't have to look anywhere past the end of my nose to know how hard it is to get people to change. When I know how it is hard it is to change myself, you know, and that's that. Wow. That's that.
Just I've got well said. Sort of first look in the mirror, sort of.
Yes.
You're right. We have to be very careful not to claim a bit of moral high ground.
Yes,
here,
no, totally. And I think that my life experience, though, having given up smoking, given up sugar, given up that these things that you imagine that you can't possibly live without, 3 weeks later, you wonder why. I haven't eaten meat for 25 years, and I don't miss it for a second, you know. And so, in some ways, it's just making that change, you know. It's just actually taking the step that's the hard bit, and then it's easy from there on.
Do you think I'm jumping way off the piste here? Do you think it's partly a matter of self-identity that, you know, if somebody sees themselves as a bloke who likes to put a big steak on the barbie and eat it, and you know, that's part of my identity, or if I'm a heli skier or whatever, it's not just I can have a good time without it, but that's a bit of a shift in my identity.
Yeah, you know, I think you've nailed it there. That really is an important part of it. It's how we think, or how what we think people think of us, kind of thing. It's so important to people, isn't it? I mean, if listeners can look for the paper, if they haven't read it already, the one we did for the Scientist Warning series, it's MERZ, et al., MERZ, Joseph MERZ, and we talked about behavior and marketing and all that kind of thing. You know, I mean, that identity thing that seems so important, I think it's innate in us. And we talk about in the paper about, you know, that the documentary, The Century of Self, that's still available on YouTube
to
watch.
I don't know it, I'm sorry to say. Yeah.
Oh, it's looking at Edward Bernays, who was actually the nephew of Sigmund Freud. And so he'd read lots of his and talked to his uncle lots about, you know, things that were innate in humans. And then he saw the opportunity to take that innate need to kind of, have self-esteem and, you know, all that kind of thing and turn it into marketing. And as the great example in that documentary, it's really worth watching. It's old and black and white American public
broadcasting. Can I get you to send me a link? Because Fresh FM webpage.
We'll do, and it's linked to in that paper as well. And his example, well, the example that sticks in my head was New York around 1915, I think. And the big social event of the year was these sort of like a debutantes thing. The young women came out. Yeah. There was lots of photos of them in the paper and everything. He managed to get hold of a couple of these, or some of these women that were going to be in this thing, and introduce them to cigarette smoking, you know, the long cigarette holder thing.
I know.
And then the next thing, at that stage, you know, most women, especially wealthy women, didn't smoke. Only men did. And within, I think, you know, months or a couple of years, he almost doubled tobacco sales in the US because...
Good grief.
Because if the cool chicks, if the cool girls were doing it, you know, then that became it. And so he exploited that thing that he understood. And I mean, to me, I just need to look around at all the big four-wheel drive utes and on the streets around me here, and how everybody, that's their sense of identity, is owning one of those things, even though they're very impractical and there's a hell of a lot of stuff you're carting around for no reason at all. But it's all about esteem. It's all about what people think of you.
Your sense of identity, isn't it?
And what
group you feel you belong to.
Yes, what you belong to. Yeah, totally.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's a really interesting loop we've just been round there.
Yeah, well, it's worth reading that paper. I don't know if you've read it, Lindsay, but one of the co-authors, was the boss, is the boss of one of the biggest marketing firms in the world. And he talked about how, mea culpa, that's what the advertising marketing industry is all about, is exploiting those things in humans.
It's leveraging exactly against frailty, isn't it?
Yes. What he said was also that we can make it work the other way. We can turn it around. We can make it not cool to own those things and not cool to fly heli skiing and all that kind of stuff. We can turn it around. Yeah. But the kind of message behind it was, but we won't do that unless you give us a few million dollars. We can do any kind of advertising campaign, but you have to pay us.
That's right. Well, we're closing in on the wrap up to this episode of our chat, Mike. But I do want to give you a chance to give some highlights to listeners in terms of key takeaways. Mm-hmm. What are the absolutely key messages you'd most like listeners to take away from our conversation today? If you had just two or three key points.
Yeah. And by the way, I am going to be on Nate Hagen's a freshwater roundtable. It's going to be released anytime now. We recorded it two or 3 weeks ago. So
I look forward to it. I always rate his guests, and I rate you being a guest too. That's wonderful.
We talked ages ago. But yeah, anyway, I think that everything that we've talked about, the kind of message to people to try and picture a world that doesn't look like this, and because I'm convinced, and it's very hard for me to picture it as well, but with my experience, for example, on Campbell Island, that life can be so much better. You know, I think I'm sure you know from mountain climbing, and I know from my sailing my old boat, that the times that you remember most and the times that are most fulfilling and rewarding are when you were a bit scared and a bit cold and a bit everything went a bit haywire and you had to forget everything else that was happening because you had to deal with issues that are right in front of you at that point in time and really basic stuff like how good a cup of tea, you know, with a tea bag in it, you know, when you're frozen, you know, cold and you've got nothing else except the stuff you carried in with you, the simple stuff, the really important things in life, love and friendship and challenging yourself and community, they're the really important, valuable things, not money in the bank or, you know, how big your truck is or any of that other stuff. Yeah. And it's kind of trying to remind people about those things that are really important that we don't value somehow in our society.
I think you're right. Absolutely right. And I mean, when you think of the number of people that either go sailing or tramping or have camping holidays or even caravan holidays, they're all got a big element of back to basics about them, even if the caravans are getting bigger and the tents are getting fancier. But also picking up on your cup of tea when you're freezing cold, it's often the stories about that time we were camping in the storm that are the ones that enrich us, aren't they?
Yeah, completely.
Even if they're damn hard at the time. Thanks again, Mike, and thanks, listeners, for joining me for that episode, another really interesting one. As you know, you're listening to Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, to Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz and podcasts of Climate Matters and of other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz and through the accessmedia.nz app. So we've now got one more of the interviews or discussions with Mike Joy. That'll be in a fortnight. And in the meantime, just another reminder that on the Resilience website, www.resilience.co.nz, If you check down the menu system, you'll be able to land on all the podcasts we did 3 years ago with climate specialists and relating the climate to local government. If you're interested to listen to those in order to get a perspective for the coming elections, I do encourage you to go there. So thanks for your company, and as always, kia kaha for the climate.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.